only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller.
Good afternoon. This is Doug Geveller, your host for today's installment of Critical Mass, the radio show, broadcasting live on octalkradio.net. Well, it's a beautiful day out. Weather's going to change, but, you know, the weather is only changing not even half as much as the economic climate is. My business partner, Rick Franzi, and I have been creating and facilitating CEO peer groups for 16 years here in Orange County, California, under the banner of Renaissance Executive Forums. That's www.executiveforums.com. You know, these forums are an opportunity for you to meet with like-minded business executives and work on problems that are common to all businesses today. Rick's book on CEO peer groups with the same title as this radio show, Critical Mass, is now in its third printing, and I would highly recommend that you add it to your reading list. You can find the book on Amazon.com. Just put in Rick Franzi under author. That's Rick, R-I-C, Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. It'll take you right to it. You know, in addition to executive forums, we also offer executive coaching services, employee development programs, and facilitate strategic planning sessions for our clients, all under the name of Critical Mass for Business. I've been a member of the International Coach Federation and a master certified coach for 15 years, past president of the Orange County chapter of the ICF, and you can learn more about our coaching practice on our website, criticalmassforbusiness.com. That's criticalmassforbusiness.com. Well, we're fortunate to have with us today an expert on strategic planning. It's my privilege to introduce you to our guest today, Camille Jane of the Jane Group. And Camille's going to be discussing the work that her firm does in the area of strategic planning. Camille, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you, Doug. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Let's jump right into it and tell our audience a little bit about our path to the Jane Group.
Well, the Jane Group is actually a business management consulting company, both strategic and business planning. And I got there. Some people think it's kind of a weird way. I personally thought it was very normal. After graduating from Stanford, I had a degree in design. I was pre-med, and I have a Master of Fine Arts in design. And that doesn't sound much like business management consulting, but when you're on the creative side of the business, it's very strategic. You are a problem solver. And so I enjoyed that, but then I really wanted to get more on the development side of strategic planning, of trying to figure out what the market needed and how to deliver the right things to the right targets. So I went and back and got my MBA from the University of Michigan in marketing and product development. And I went straight into consumer packaged goods. I started out at Pillsbury in new products. Then I went to Procter & Gamble, division of Procter & Gamble Vidal Sassoon, and I was in new products and hair care. And then I got hired away by the banking systems. I went to work for Comerica Bank for about 6 years, where I became the senior vice president in charge of their liabilities division and head of corporate advertising. And then I was hired away by John Malone at TCI to be their senior vice president of digital TV. And that was very exciting because we were the ones who designed and launched digital cable TV for the world. And so if you have Cox in your home or on the East Coast, Comcast or DirecTV, that's our product, and including the interactive guide. And then from there, I was hired, and that's how I got to Orange County, to be the chairman and CEO of Universal Electronics, which is a public company, and they were the folks who invented the universal remote control technology. And it wasn't doing so well. They're a public company, and I put together a great team, and we restructured, turned it around with all the right strategic planning and business planning and implementation. And let me see, when I got there, the stock was at 10. When they announced I was becoming chairman and CEO, it went down to 5. But we got it up to $50, and I think it was about a $75, $80 million company, and it closing in on $400 million company now. So that was the corporate world. And then when I left Universal Electronics to, you know, do something a little different, that's when the Jane Group surfaced. And a couple partners and I formed the Jane Group because I felt a great need in the marketplace to have consultants, business management consultants, who really actually had run divisions, had run companies. And I'd done that quite successfully, and people kept asking me to teach them how to do it, how to figure out what to do the right way. So I thought there was a great need in the marketplace, not just for the strategic planning aspect, but all the way through implementation in every department, right down to the target market by purchasing your product. So all the operational processes, all the business planning, all the strategic planning. So that's how I got there.
Wow, that's an interesting story, an interesting twist of events. Although I have to say, I have talked to very few people who are doing today what they started out to do in life out of school.
Right, exactly. Thank goodness, huh?
So I'm curious, you know, with your design background, how do you think that has helped you in your management field, which is really where you spent so much of your time, sounds?
Well, actually, I was just giving a lecture today to a museum, and I felt that a huge part of my business success was the fact that I started in the creative side of the business, again, because I did a lot in graphic and package design, which truly is problem solution. I think the creative side, coupled with the whole business operation strategic side, has been invaluable, and I think I'm pretty well known for coming up with creative solutions to the marketplace. And also, it also has been invaluable because I feel very comfortable working with ad agencies and marketing agencies, direct response firms, because I do speak their language. I have the same degrees that they have. And there's a lot of credibility. And I feel it helped me know how to work with them. I respect them tremendously. But I think because you're always, on the creative side, you're always trying to, you need to find a solution that will get that consumer to pick that package off the shelf or an ad to get them to want to try your product. Applying that sort of thinking to the business side, which I think makes it more fun, I think has been invaluable. And I think it also helps me go in when I work with companies. I probably have a little bit more of a creative approach to understanding. But when I went to Universal Electronics, I mean, they were just a remote control company, and one might think that doesn't work with my gender, first of all. And but secondly, I looked at it like it was hair care or food or anything else I'd been on. I'd just come from having Fetzer Wine as a client. And we had done something there that I could apply very easily to the consumer electronics, not getting people drinking, but there are a lot of good creative things you can do. I really feel if I didn't have the creative side of my head, I'm very fortunate. Half of my family on my mother's side are artists and musicians. I'm very successful at that. And the other side from my father are doctors and engineers, so. I think I got kind of both sides. So
that's an interesting answer, and I'm going to ask you a little more about that later. But first, tell us a little bit about the Jane Group.
Well, I think what the reason I wanted again to help people is I got so many phone calls and meetings from people saying, "Can you just help me figure out what to do with my business?" And I think what is very important to me is I'm an educator at heart. I've taught ever since I've been in the corporate world. When I was a designer, I taught in the School of Architecture at University of Michigan, and I've taught in MBA programs all throughout my career. And I felt what I didn't like about a lot of consulting companies that came in that we hired, who helped us, that they did the high-level overview, and when they left, the employees did not really know what to do on their own. So We come in and I take any companies through exactly what I would do if I were running that division or if I were running that business, and we start from the top of the strategic planning process. I have a very set, defined process that I do with every single company I go into. And that process, that strategic plan, then flows into the infrastructure that you need to deliver on that strategic plan, that has to deliver on the financial objectives. And then that infrastructure, what falls out of that are the corporate key strategies for the company, and that what falls directly out of that are the department business plans. And every single one of the department plans have to tie into the 5 to 8 key strategies that the company says are their critical core strategies that have to be done. And right down to project plans and people's performance reviews are based on how they're delivering on the projects, that deliver on the department plans, that deliver on the infrastructure, that deliver on the strategic plan, that deliver on making the financial objectives. So, and then we educate. We're not a firm that wants to be kept on board for a long time. And I want to be able to, so in that process, I educate and I do a lot of teaching to the employees. And now I've incorporated my bulletproof lectures, which are business lectures for the business community, into our planning process with the employees. So we truly feel that we can transfer that knowledge, leave. So they don't get any binders from us. They know how to do this on their own. And we started and everybody's involved. We involved all the key people in that process. So it's a real roll up your sleeves. And I feel very good when we leave that they know how to implement and then continue. We give them a lot of very definite tools to keep it going. So it works. It works very well for people.
And Camille, is strategic planning, is that the primary service that you're providing to your clients, or do you do more than that?
Oh, no. We do. We start with the strategic planning process because you can't. We do strategic planning, business planning, operational department planning, right down to then helping them with all the anything from an operational basis. And again, it's as if I were running that business. So all of their marketing, their operations, their IT. Now, we're not IT experts or operations, but we do all the department, help them with all the department plans, because we don't leave until every department in the company has their department plan, department business plan. Business plans are tactical, so we go through the strategic planning, and the business planning basically gets into all the department plans for the company, and which have to be implemented. So we go through all of that. If they need market research, we do that. We work with, it's called the Jane Group, because we have about 6 companies with whom we work almost exclusively, depending on what our clients need. If they need direct response marketing, if they need PR, if they need some operational project management help. So we do all of that based on how much they need. There's some folks who just bring us in to do their strategic plan initially. Rarely do we leave without them saying, can you stay and help us do the business plan, which are the tactical plans that have to be implemented to deliver on the strategic plan.
Okay, good. Well, look, before we get more into that, you know, one of the questions that I like to ask all of my guests is, what particular experience, life lesson has kind of influenced you that is really what guides you in your business relationships?
I think the main one, and I think the reason that I probably work so well and so quickly, and this is not new news, I just think you have to do it, is listening to people. I am a perfect example of someone who takes what I do and can transfer it to any industry. I've never went to a new job before. I think people need, if they find that they're successful, I think they need to figure out exactly what they're doing. What is their process And if it works, they need to stay true to that. And that's what I do. I go in and do my strategic and business planning, whether it's a direct response firm, agency, or right now, J.D. Power, the gentleman who founded J.D. Power & Associates, he's a client of mine. And he buys companies around the country, and one was a GPS tracking company. And I do exactly the same process there to guide them through their strategic and all their business planning as I did a direct response marketing firm. So I really feel that you need to sit down and really think hard about what you do. And if you're not doing well, then you really have to sit down and figure out what you're not doing right. But I go in and can very quickly get to the crux of what needs to be done by listening to the experts in the business, because rarely am I ever the expert at any business that I go to, even when I leave it. Respecting the folks who really understand that business, but realizing you have to listen to them and be able to ask the right questions to guide them in the right way and have confidence in your ability that you can do that.
Absolutely. And you know, I know you run into this all the time, the same as we do, but, you know, so many people, there's kind of two sides to strategic planning. There's those who are committed to it and those who said, oh, you know, we used to do that, but it was such a waste of time. We spent 2 days in a go-away, and we had a good time and came back, and it really didn't help anything at all. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what makes a good engagement when you're with a firm, and what makes for a poor engagement. What is it, strategic planning, or is it something else?
Well, I don't think anybody would ever say that they went away on a two-day venture in my strategic planning process and had a good time, because I think it's a very hard work. Everybody has to participate, and many of the heads of the division or heads of the company have said it was the best thing they ever did, but it was the hardest thing they ever did. Because things real honest come out. And if you know how, as you know very well, how to facilitate the right way, the bosses in the room are not the ones who do the majority of the talking. But, mine is so specific. I do a lot of pre-work, which I'm sure you folks do too, but I do at least a month of pre-work before I get in front of the people. And I do a lot of one-on-one interviews with most of the employees before I facilitate a strategic planning session. And again, they don't get any bind. And when they leave, they have specific, and they're all usually, you have the key people from around the company, they all have buy-in and have to follow that strategic plan. It's not a pie in the sky. They have their marching orders, and they have to do their business plan for their department to tie into the strategic plan. It's a very, very specific tied-in process. So nobody goes away that I have had as a client saying it's a waste of time. They go away saying, oh, my goodness, we have, and they have specific timetables that they have to do this by. And as I said, we tie this right down to their annual performance review for delivering on the plan that everybody has contributed to and everybody has bought into. They don't leave that room until they have determined the top line revenue they have to hit, as well as the net income they have to get hit. So, and then we start all over again with their department business plan. So it's hard. It's a lot of work. It's hard. People's brains are very tired, and I have a major headache at the end of the sessions, and my back is killing me because we work very hard. You know, we start at 7:30 in the morning and go till 6 at night for them both days. So I don't think they say they have a good time. I think they say they have an extremely productive time.
Great. You've made the distinction a couple of times, and I want you to just clarify it for our audience, because I think there's a lot of confusion out there about the difference between a strategic plan and a business plan.
Sure. The strategic plan is, and it's different. You have a vision, which is my boss, John Malone, came up with the idea of, say, digital TV. That's a great vision. Getting that into someone's home across their TV, you need to take a lot of steps. So the strategic plan, at least the way we do it, starts with, first of all, people have to figure out what business they're in, and that can take a long time. You go around the room and you have everybody write down a piece of paper, what business are you in? Strategic plan, you first figure out what business you're in and with, you know, what industry are you in, and within that industry, what business you're in. There, it's high level, it's strategy. And then you come up with, what I do is have them come up with a value chain, which are key components that anybody in that industry with whom, yourself or anybody else with whom you compete, the key things that they have to deliver superbly to the end user in order to create the best value. So you usually come up with anywhere between 4 and 6 key critical things, and those can be delivery, they can be technological innovations, they can be account management, any number of things. And again, the whole group figures that out. So then you grade yourselves on saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do we do in flexible delivery options or technology innovations or creative solutions, things like that. And when you see and if anybody says they're 10s or 8s, 8, 9, or 10, they're usually smoking something, so or they wouldn't have hired us to come in there. Then you say, okay, if we are going to have to deliver superb delivery options, then you build an infrastructure underneath it. What are the things that we have to have in place in order to be excellent on delivery to our customers? So that infrastructure is made up of what I think are 3 different things. I call them the jewels of the business: ingredients, knowledge, and processes. Ingredients could be people. Ingredients could be patents. Knowledge is very different in the company of, let's say, for an agency, Joe or Sue has great account management knowledge, but there's no process in the company to take that through the company. So that is your strategic planning process. Once you have that infrastructure, out of that, you circle all the ones that you have and all the ones you don't have, and you have to figure out from a strategic standpoint, what does this company need to do strategically? What are the key core strategies that we have to do to deliver on that, to be able to deliver on that value chain superbly? And that's how your core strategies come about. Then you come up with your core purpose. Then you come up with your financial objectives. That is your strategic plan. The difference between a strategic plan and a business plan is that in the strategic plan, it doesn't tell you how to do it. The business plan, I feel, is very tactical. They are the step-by-step things that you need to do in order tactically to deliver on all that infrastructure stuff. So let's say we don't have enough patents, that we need patents in order to deliver for our clients, our customers, innovative technology. In your R&D department or in your engineering department, their business plan then says, how do we come up with patents? Well, one thing could be tactically we have to hire people, or we have to build a lab. I mean, I'm getting very simple here, but they're tactical department plans that you have to put in place, and you assign people and projects so that you can then deliver on a core strategy that delivers on that component in the value chain. So the business plans are truly your day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month projects that you are putting time and money and people against that will allow you then to tactically deliver on the strategy that the company set that said, this is the business we're in, this is how we're going to deliver value to our customers better than our competitors. And that is how, if we do that every quarter, then we're going to deliver on our financial objectives. So, big difference. One is truly implementation, and the other one is strategy.
Okay, very good. You know, an interesting thing is I get the impression that process is very, very important to you, and that you've mentioned that you have a specific process that you take companies through in developing their plan, and yet there's a creative side. How does the creative function within a tightly defined process?
Well, I think the creativity has to come as you're going along in the process because, and as you well know, when people say, oh, you're a great facilitator, and I say, no, a facilitator facilitates. To be a great strategic planning consultant and business planning, you have, as you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, you have to think very fast on your feet, which means, one, you have to be very smart about business, and you have to be able to take what people are thinking and creatively, I don't want to say, it stimulates a lot of creative juices in my head, because one of the things that you have to do when you're strategic planning, consultant and business planning, they're hiring you because you supposedly have some business savvy. So you have to think, make sure that you do not allow them to go down the wrong path. So in a very defined process of the steps that I have to take them through, my creative capabilities have to be set on very high to pull out what they're saying. And so I'm just not scribbling down what they're saying. I'm interpreting what they're saying, putting my creative head against it and my business savvy against it, and then saying, and what you mean by this is probably this. So it is, in that sense, it's not just hardcore line by line by line, but the process has to get done in the time period. How you get there can be very different things, but you've taken through all the steps. The creativity comes in the content and what comes out of it. And that's why you need all the business experts in the room to help you with. But then you tee up ideas to them that you know that they're not thinking about. I mean, I'll give you an example of one of the exercises that, so if anybody listening, if I work with them, they'll know the answer to this, but the very first thing I ask them all to do, and they come from every different department, I say, please, for me, just to help me as we go through these next couple of days, write down what your job is. And, you know, a marketing person writes that down, or CFO writes that down, and what they do, and the COO, and things like that. At the end of the two-day session, when we get to the core purpose, which has been a huge amount of work, and we read that one core purpose that they've come up with, and to me, core purpose is a mission. The mission is inward, and I call it, what do you get up? What is your purpose of getting up every day to do? And when they all read it, and I say to every single one of them, each one of you, that is your job every day. You all have the same job, to deliver on your core purpose. So that is a creative aha for people. Plus you have to be good at telling some good jokes, you know, to keep it going.
Well, you know, and
also, I'll tell you, Doug, one of the things I do is I always come up, and you do this, I'm sure, you always come up with some question that you have them all answer at the beginning that has nothing to do with their business. It has everything to do, though, when I find out from whoever hired me, the CEO or president or something, or division head, that creative question, which is nothing to do with their business, but at the end of the 2 days we come back to it and they answer it, and I have them think of something from their childhood or something this or that, because I know what problems they need to solve before I go in there. And I usually have a pretty good idea of how to do that, but I'm not the expert. So that's creative for them as well. They don't know why they're doing that, and then it all ties in together.
Well, and you know, one of the things too that I think you bring to the process is, as an outside person, you're not so inclined to go down the worn rabbit trails that the rest of the people have been chasing, meeting after meeting, day after day, month after month. And
exactly.
That gives a whole new creative twist to it.
And I think the reason people might like calling me is they know that I've actually been in their shoes, and I haven't just been a consultant. I've actually done what they've been doing, and I have a lot of knowledge of, you know, manufacturing and designing and, you know, whatever. So I think that helps with them wanting to listen to me as much as I want to listen to them. because I'm saying we're doing in these next few days, as well as then I'm actually with them for quite a while, is what I do myself every time I go into a business that I'm going to run. So there's, I think, a lot of credibility there. And I said, you know, luckily they've all worked out pretty well. So.
I think it's more than luck, Camille.
Well,
Camille, how have these meetings changed in the last 2 years, given the economic issues that everybody is facing? Has it changed the way in which your strategic planning meetings have gone?
No, I think they listen more. I think they take it more seriously. I think the interesting thing is when, everybody, I would never say that when, before the market crashed, that people, things just sold themselves, but people were, have worked very hard to build very successful businesses throughout the years. I think now they realize that they have to get very serious, more serious about this, and I also have seen, which is wonderful, I mean, that I have found that they're asking more for it, and I don't want to say that people weren't attentive before, because you have to be, because I won't allow them not to be, but I think they are more believing, as I do, that you have to have the discipline to do this. And for example, when I go into companies that are, let's say, $30 million company, so that's a relatively small company, and they've gotten their sheer grit, as you do. When you're an entrepreneur, you're very tactical. You have to be. At some point, you have to switch over to being strategic and actually doing planning. And so now they're realizing the reason, one of the reasons they're not going forward is they don't have the basics in place. And you can just go so much faster if you do. So I think the only thing I've seen is that people are taking it more seriously and realizing if they do it quickly, they'll do better faster. So, and I've always felt that way. I mean, no matter where I've been, I cannot get started without doing this, and I will not get started without doing this process. So for my own businesses. So.
Well, speaking of your own business, what current challenges are you facing in your business these days?
Well, you know, I thought about this a little more, what I'm frustrated by is, I get a lot of requests, because now in Orange County, I know a lot of people from the small to medium sized companies. And what's frustrating is how to help them so they can afford this. It's not inexpensive. And that's a challenge of trying, to your point of have I changed anything, of trying to figure out a way that I can get them to the same point with a budget that they can afford, because it's not cheap. That's one challenge. The other challenge is because people know I do have all this real business experience. They always, and I think this is the same with anybody who's been successful, that people know, they always want me. I mean, that's whether it's the Jane Group or my other company, Matters at Hand, they want me on the business, and me only goes so far. So I think that's a challenge for anybody. I mean, even if you have other consultants and you train them in your way, you know, now when a gentleman like J.D. Power calls, I go. But I like going no matter who it is. I just love interfacing with people, and I love rolling up my sleeves and being with the employees and having one-on-ones with them. But those two things are probably the biggest challenge of how can I make it. One of the ways I did that was I started these bulletproof lectures, these monthly business lectures for the Orange County business community, and we were sold out every time. I mean, the room didn't hold more than 80 people to tactically show them what I do. In these eight different lectures, there were the eight different competency clusters that I feel anyone has to master to be good in the business world, kind of like good to great for the individual. One of those lectures was the strategic planning process. One was business planning. One was, survival of, I put funny names on them, like always the windshield, never the bug, and that was about survival of the fittest and how do you survive in the business world, and what are the things you need to do well, and one of them is decision-making and other things. So I'm trying to be creative in being able to offer up what people want to learn from me, which is very flattering, in different ways. So I did that for 8 months, $50, you know, a person, you know, not expensive at all, so they wouldn't feel that their company would have to pay for it, and they came to a central location. And so that's a challenge. You know, people call all the time, and you just can't do it for a lot less because there's so much time involved, so much work. So that's a continual challenge.
And you know, that is such a key issue. I mean, the businesses that need our help the most are so often those that don't have the time or the money to afford it.
Right. I think they can all take the time, but I think it's very difficult to get over the hurdle that this is a good investment. This is an investment. This is not just a tactical line item. This is an investment. And when they have this, I mean, this one direct response firm that called me in to do this, and they had been around for 20 years. They were celebrating their 20th. And the founder and the CEO said, I should have done this 20 years ago. And I said, well, no, you know, but, and they would have, I think, and as soon as they did this, and I applaud the CEO, because when you said that, some people say, oh, we just go away, have a good 2 days. She said it was the first day was the hardest day for her, because this baby that she had built, and she had built a very, very successful direct response and fulfillment firm, she was having to admit that all these things needed redoing, or doing for the first time, or implementing other things in order for her to grow. She had the courage to sit through it and then implement everything. And they grew at 30% a year after that. And they're growing leaps and bounds now. And at the last quarter of 2009 was their best quarter, I think, for a long time. I mean, because she did it. You know, she made everybody make it the fabric of what they were doing. So, yeah, it's hard, but you know, nobody works for free, and it is so much work to do with people. It's wonderful. I love it, but it's a lot of work. So,
you know, I don't want to lose this here, but your bulletproof lecture series, you now have that available online?
No, I do not. What I do now is, instead of everybody coming to a central place every month, I take it to companies. So if people want to have it on demand, I go to them, as long as they have a minimum of 10 people. And they can choose any one of the 8 lectures. They don't have to be taken in sequentially. So it was just, I just couldn't keep being tied down to every Wednesday having to be at a certain place. So this is more flexible for folks. The reason it's not online is I feel it's very important to be in the room facing people and interfacing with people versus just a lecture. So if people just gather 10 employees or 10 colleagues or clients, they can just go online, and we'll set it up, and I'll come to them and do the lecture for them.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this again at the end of the program, but just I don't want to miss it. Your website address is?
For the lectures?
Yeah.
It's bulletprooflectures.com, bulletprooflectures.com, plural.
Okay, good. So, you know, we talked about this before, so you knew we were going to ask you this question. What's the most painful lesson you've learned in your business career?
Sad but true, and as I went up the corporate ladder, I think it intensified that, you know, no matter how hard you work or your integrity and all those good things, sometimes there are just people out there who really want to hurt you and sabotage you. That was hard. Doesn't happen very often, but people can have their own agenda, and for the most part, most people are not like that. But when it does happen to you. And I think everybody may have this once or twice in their career. That's when you really have to dig deep and know who you are. And I always say to people, politics is not a dirty word. It's only a bad word when it's used, when you are political only for your own gain. Good politics are when you are doing things to communicate more and help other people more. So I've had that a couple times, only twice in my career. And getting through that and knowing how to get through it graciously, and it not just targeted towards me personally, but to a lot of people. That was difficult and emotionally very difficult, and knowing how to persevere and keep your eye on the ball and perform. At a certain stage in the career, and I felt I was playing with the big boys, quote unquote, and the big girls, it can be real hardball out there. So
yeah. Well, you know, I know you're a very bottom line kind of person, so this question won't throw you at all. What is it that you want what are the key points you want our audience to walk away with today, clear in their mind, that you hope they got from this discussion?
Well, in terms of what we do in business management consulting, I would hope that they all reflect on, if they really even understand what a strategic plan is and a business plan, and if they're just still kind of going day to day, that they really understand that if they, I think good business takes tremendous discipline, and you can never let up on that. And yes, I'm very process oriented, but I feel that when people ask me, how are you, why are you, you know, you're always successful no matter what you start, whether you're the president of an association or you start the Jane Group or Medivhan or go in to head a division. And it's the discipline of truly having the right processes in place. I really want people to realize that if they've never done a strategic or a business plan, and I don't mean a budget. A lot of people, when I come in, clients saying, where's your business plan? And they show me their financial budget for the year, how much faster they can get to success if they really take the time to learn how to do it right. I mean, you can go online. Your show is a tremendous example of giving people access to thoughts, and so that's very, very important. So,
well, thank you for that. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about or that you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up here?
Well, the only other thing I might want to touch on is my other business, which I'm very proud on, which is Matters at Hand. It's completely different than the Jane Group. The only thread that probably runs through everything I do is I underlying always trying to educate people. But Matters at Hand, we are facilitators and educators in the wealth management arena. I wrote an article in the Orange County Business Journal where I said, you know, my one hat with the Jane Group is I help business people do really well in business so they become wealthy. And then my Matters at Hand hat, we work with people to make sure they don't lose their wealth. So we bulletproof their success on one side, and on the other side, we try and bulletproof their wealth. So we go in and review our clients' trust, their investments, their taxes, their insurance, let them know what may be, you know, out of whack, and work with them and their attorneys and CPAs and investment advisors, insurance folks to get it in order. And we have a very, very large network in Orange County, or we introduce them to new people. And then we basically become the client and teach them how to do that, do it for them and teach them how to do it. We're short-term, we leave. And I'm very proud because we give all the profits from Matters at Hand to charity, in local charities in Orange County. As well as I do, I just completed the largest women's business conference in Orange County in February, and we gave all those proceeds to Girls Inc. So I'm a real cheerleader for saying whatever you do, I think you should give a percent of it back to to the community. So very proud of that.
Well, Camille, that's wonderful. And thank you very much for being with us today and sharing your passion for educating people. It is just admirable. How do people get a hold of you?
They can call us at 714-328-1400. They can certainly go to the Jane Group website, and Jane is spelled with a Y, so they can get to Bulletproof Lectures through the Jane Group, and they can get to Matters at Hand by mattersathand.com. So.
Well, Camille, thank you very much for being with us today, and I look forward to having you back again at some point in the future.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, we've been listening to Camille Jane of the Jane Group talking about how her firm uses strategic planning to help businesses really get clear on what their purpose is, and then through that clarity, able to develop better implementation plans. So if you just tuned in on the end here, be sure to go to octalkradio.net or go to our website, Critical Mass for Business, and download this and catch up with it, because you missed a great conversation. In terms of things you might have missed, those of you who were not at our spring executive conference last week, boy, you missed a great event. Those of you who were there, thank you very much for attending. We had close to 100 people at the Center Club listening to four wonderful speakers talking about their take on the economy and whether we're dealing with just another 100-year storm or whether we're dealing with a true fundamental change in the way in which we're going to do business. We do have some of the speakers were kind enough to provide their material electronically to us. And if you can go to our website, Critical Mass for Business, you'll be able to download that or look at some of the information that we presented at the conference. Again, a great opportunity. If you did miss it, be sure to get on our website, get a hold of my business partner, Rick Franzi, or myself, and make sure that you're on our list for our invitation for our August summer event. It looks like we're going to probably have to limit the attendance at that. The response is just overwhelming. So, again, this is Doug Gefeller with Critical Mass for Business. Thanking you for tuning in. Be sure to listen to octalkradio.net for the best in business news, and wishing that all your business decisions are better decisions. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.